On its website, Enbridge Energy says it operates the world's longest, most sophisticated crude oil and liquid transportation system in the world. To explain how important Wisconsin is to that system and how Enbridge's plans to expand in Wisconsin, thanks to Mark Mackey, President, Enbridge Energy Partners. Mark, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you very much for having me here today.
Well, I looked it up. Enbridge is a $45 billion company, but how important is Wisconsin to your company, your operation?
I would describe Wisconsin as kind of one of the hearts of the system in terms of the number of folks that work on the pipeline here in the state, and then really the two routes that we go through the state of Wisconsin. So really the heart of our system is really here in the state.
And why is Wisconsin so important? What's the volume of product that goes through daily, things like that?
Sure. Historically, the system came into being in Wisconsin really in the late 1940s, early 1950s. The system originally terminated in Superior, Wisconsin, and from there oil was tankered across the Great Lakes to market. Early 1950s, it decided it was better to go by pipeline, and so we built a corridor across the northern part of the state. That system today moves about 500,000 barrels a day to the markets in the east. And then heading south, there are currently three lines that go south into markets in Chicago, also through other connecting carriers down to the U.S. Gulf Coast. On that system, upwards of a million and a half barrels a day will move through that corridor. Markets that we serve off the pipeline, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Superior, all the Chicago area refineries, Detroit, Toledo, Sarnia, Toronto, and eventually Montreal, Quebec, then going to the south into the Cushing hub in Oklahoma, and from there a variety of other markets, and finally down to the Houston area markets.
So we had pipelines that were built by Enbridge in when?
From the first system that was built in the state of any size was in the early 1950s, and after that a series of expansions were built, Line 6A, which was done in the late 1960s, Line 14, which was done in my time in the company in the mid-90s, and then going the most recent expansion was our Southern Access expansion, and that was completed in 2009. And that's a system we're looking at expanding in the state today.
And it transports how many barrels a day?
Roughly that system talking the line that we're talking about expanding,
yes.
Today moves about 560,000 barrels a day. We're looking to take it to its full capability of 1.2 million barrels a day through a series of expansions.
And what exactly is this product? Is it crude from Canada or where?
It's a variety of different types of crude. Crude oil has got a wide range of qualities to it, from stuff that looks like water all the way through to more of the dark or heavier oil. And we move all different kinds of products on the system. So oil from the Bakken in North Dakota, light conventional oil from Canada, synthetics. In addition, oil sands oil as well moves on the system.
Okay, and it ends up in Chicago and from there?
Chicago and other markets, yes.
Into everybody's gas tanks across Wisconsin?
That's really the important thing, yes, is absolutely our system feeds the refining complex in the upper Midwest, and that makes it critical really to all the states around the Great Lakes area. So Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, all those areas, the refining complexes are basically fed by our pipelines, and refined products are made at the refiners, and then they're distributed out to the consumer. And so we are a key supplier to the refining complex in the upper Midwest.
What percentage of gas consumption in the upper Midwest comes through this pipeline?
Well, sort of indirect to us, but if you look at the refining complex and what goes into the refinery, Minneapolis, St. Paul, we're pretty close to probably 80 or better percent of the refining complex there. Superior, 100%. Chicago area markets, at least 60, 65%. Other markets, as you go to the east from there, anywhere from up to 100%, maybe 60 to 100% in that kind of range. So very, very significant source of oil that eventually becomes refined products for consumers in the Midwest.
Okay, let's go to the graphic that your staff was good enough to provide to explain the current operations and how you want to expand. Can you kind of walk us through this graphic here, sir?
Sure, you bet. So the system, we have a very, very large storage complex at Superior, Wisconsin. The way to think about that location really is like a rail switching yard. So we have a number of pipelines that come into Superior. All the oil goes to tankage at that location, and then it's basically rearranged and then batched to leave Superior.
Rail to Superior?
It comes by pipeline.
Okay, excuse me.
By analogy, it looks like a rail switching yard. So trains come in and they reorganize the box cars and they send them all out. Well, the operation Superior is much like that. We bring in batches of oil by pipeline, goes into big storage tanks that you're used to seeing, and then from there it goes two different directions out of the state. Light oil and natural gas liquids moves on Line 5 in the northern part of the state, and then a whole range of oil from light condensates all the way through to heavy oil moves through the south.
Okay, and you've noted here, are these existing pumping station and generating stations or stations and generating facilities that you want to build?
These are all basically existing locations on the system. What we're typically doing is adding additional pumping units or stations adjacent to existing facilities that we already have. So as an example, here in Waterloo, we're looking to put another station in adjacent to existing facilities we already have.
Okay. So how many pipelines carry 500,000 barrels a day through Wisconsin?
The line up in the north that moves across from Superior through the Iron River area and then off into upper Michigan is a line that moves about 500,000 barrels a day. And then there are three lines that go south from Superior. Line 14 is about 240,000 barrels a day. Line 6A is about 700,000 barrels a day. And then our line 61 is about 560 today. And it's that line 61 that we're looking to expand to 1.2 million.
And you want to expand, take it from 500,000 to 1.2?
1.2, yes.
Why? Is this a function of national demand?
It really is. If you think about what the United States every day runs on, we run on about 19 million barrels of oil, natural gas liquids, and ethanol to make the country run. Every day, 19 million barrels. Our system, if you look at it in the aggregate, moves about 2.2 million barrels a day, every day. So in terms of what the United States runs on, we are a very critical piece of that story. And our oil is coming from either American sources in North Dakota, Montana, or Canadian sources. You know, no better trading partner than Canada. Alberta, Saskatchewan, British Columbia, to some extent the Northwest Territories. That's the location that the oil is coming from. And it's going to North American markets.
And these pipelines are how far under the ground, sir?
Typically 3 feet in most locations. There's some places it may be deeper, where you might go underneath a river crossing or that kind of thing. It may will be substantially deeper than that 3 foot amount.
So is there an estimate of the cost estimate to upgrade your facilities in the state of Wisconsin?
About $635 million in the state of Wisconsin is what's going to be spent. And we've, of course, invested substantially over the years in the state.
Okay. And how far along the process of getting approval are you? Because I read one news story that has Dane County was the last one to sign off. Well, first of all, do you have to get approval, of course, from the feds, Department of Transportation, and state government, or just feds and locals?
There are many permits that you've got to get at the federal level all the way down to the local level that are important to us. And as an example, Army Corps of Engineers permits, you may have where you cross waterways and other things. There's a variety of different permits the company has to get. The key one at the moment, though, is a conditional use permit that has been issued here in Dane County and a condition that's been applied to that particular permit that we would like to see different. And that's really the last key element of the expansion that we want to build in Wisconsin that we need to have fall into place.
Is everybody else signed off, the feds?
We are otherwise in construction on all the other stations on the system that we want to expand. And so we feel like, yes, everything else has been signed off. We just need to get this one last hurdle cleared.
What's the dialogue in Dane County? What's the back and forth?
Well, very, very constructive. We've been we've had a number of back and forths with the folks in the county and have been able to come to a number of design modifications to our system to address concerns. The last thing that really remains is an insurance condition that's been placed on the system that we have are having a hard time accepting.
Now, that insurance condition, I read the State Journal story. They want Enbridge to buy additional coverage of how much, sir? Is that just for Dane County?
It would be just for Dane County. It's a specific type of insurance, a $25 million policy that would relate to that location. And it's a relatively thinly traded or not readily available type of insurance that they want to have placed. Now, the company carries a much, much larger pollution liability insurance policy that covers off reimbursement of costs to the company in the event that there were a spill. So as an example, we carry $860 million of pollution liability insurance coverage.
Now, is that total or is that for one incident or is that complete?
That's total. That would be for a year.
Okay.
And anywhere on the system. In addition, but before you ever get to insurance, just like if you or I have a fender bender, an accident, or something happens at home, I mean, typically you have to deal with some of the costs yourself to start with. The business is no different. So if we have an issue, the first thing that matters is the company. The company has to be in a position where it can respond to an incident, and we are. If you look at our history across the system, we are a very responsible operator. If we've had issues, we take care of the costs, we take care of the landowners that are affected, and that has been our operating history for as long as we've been around.
So Dane County now, how far along are you? Who is asking for the $25 million additional coverage?
Basically the zoning board in the county.
The zoning board.
Yes.
And are you still in dialogue?
We've basically appealed. There's been a decision. We've been granted the conditional use permit, but there is a condition on the permit that wants us to put in place this $25 million insurance policy. So what we have done or are asking for is an appeal of that particular condition. Other aspects of the decision, we were able to go back and forth. Again, found the process very productive, very constructive, and we were able to come to a mutual agreement. So as an example, we added additional containment facilities around the pump station, mm-hmm. Made some other design changes for aesthetics, and all those things, no issue. But the insurance is a bit of a different issue.
Okay. And what's the next step in this dialogue over the insurance?
Well, the next step in the dialogue is we'll go through the appeal process with the county board. That's the next step for us. And then after
Have
that...
Have you got a date to go before the
yes,
full
we'll
county
board?
Yes, we'll
be there next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know which day?
Thursday, June 4.
And the issue squarely before the county board is what?
Basically, we're going to ask simply, we would like to have that insurance condition removed from the conditional use permit.
Arguing that you carry enough...
We carry enough insurance coverage on our own. And before you ever even look at insurance, the first thing that should be looked at is the financial capabilities of the company and its resources to be able to respond if there is an incident. And in that regard, Enbridge, in terms of its size, the financial resources we have, our credit rating, cash on hand, all those things are what we would marshal in addition to the people that work in the state to help us respond if there were an incident.
How many people work for your company in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, about 800.
800.
Actually, let me back up. 800 in broader Duluth Superior Wisconsin area. I think in Wisconsin itself is 600.
Okay, and you're proposing then improvements that would cost $635 million
yes.
for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And if Dane County doesn't see it your way, what happens?
Well, we'll go back to, again, probably discussion with the county folks about what else could be done. We have maybe some other ideas as to ways to address their concerns, and so we would try to begin that dialogue.
Okay. Let's talk about pipelines. Senator Tammy Baldwin was just in the city of La Crosse talking about the danger of transporting oil on railroads.
Railroads, yep.
And we've seen these explosions of rail trains. Mm-hmm. Pipelines, much more safer way to transport crude?
If you look at statistics in terms of releases and so forth, yes, we think pipelines certainly are a better alternative to moving a product than, say, moving it by rail. The alternative, if pipelines aren't developed, one of the things you will see is more and more product move to rail. Today, out of the Bakken area in North Dakota, as an example, there's relatively limited pipeline capacity that leaves the state. So a very substantial majority of the oil that's produced there, it's about 1 million barrels a day being produced in North Dakota today.
Mm-hmm.
Probably on the order of 600 to 700,000 barrels a day is moving by rail. And that will continue until more pipelines are developed.
Well, Wisconsin has our former governor, former Senator Nelson, the father of Earth Day.
Yes,
so
yes.
We have an environmental tradition.
Yep.
But let me ask you this. You've dealt with a lot of states. Is Wisconsin harder or easier to deal with on some of these construction projects, sir?
Really all states, and this is true across the board, much more attention being paid to infrastructure development, and that's good. And the processes that all the states and locals go through is much more robust than it used to be, which again is good. So I don't think Wisconsin is any more difficult or less difficult than anywhere else we do business. It is good diligence, it's appropriate diligence on any infrastructure development. And so I don't have any constructive criticism or otherwise to offer to the state as it comes to that. And we're going to follow the processes that are there in order for us to hopefully get this conditional use permit adjusted. And then carry on with our expansion.
If you've begun construction in some of these other areas on the stations and the generating facilities, mm-hmm. then Dane County is not a deal breaker then?
It affects the overall capability of the system, and it's a significant difference to what the system is capable of. So we'd have to look at other alternatives or workarounds in order to be able to address the issues that you're raising.
And you want to go to from 500,000 barrels a day to 1.2 by when?
The ideal, we basically would stair-step the expansion in. Today, the system can move about 560 on the line that we're looking to expand. The first step would be 800,000 barrels a day and then 1.2 million barrels a day by, say, 2017 timeframe. And this, the station in Dane County, is an important part of the step to the 1.2 million. So we should be at 800,000 by the end of this year, and 1.2 million thereafter.
Let's talk about, can you elaborate on the website statements? These expansions will help generate benefits for local economies by providing temporary jobs, increasing tax revenue, and supporting businesses throughout the purchase of local goods and services, lodging, food, supplies, and equipment. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. You know, one of the things that is always an important part of our business is, you know, on the construction side. You know, we have a variety of contractors here in the state, in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and other locations that we use to build our pipeline facilities. And these are good jobs, union jobs, highly technical jobs, engineers, electricians, mechanical people, welders. And so those jobs are critical parts of any of these things that we build. In addition, our employment base in Wisconsin is large. And these, again, are very good paying jobs. And you know, if you go to, say, Superior as an example, and look at the effect that the company has on the community, it's very, very significant. So we look at the spin-offs, whether it's the contractors that we utilize in the state or the service industries that help support our business. It is a very significant impact on the economy of the broader state of Wisconsin.
Some of these larger issues, the effect of this, the context of this in relation to the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes.
What's the relationship? What, if any, is the relationship?
I think if you look at the Keystone Pipeline or our development, really it comes down to an issue with any energy infrastructure development in North America now is a challenge. And that is the environment that basically that we're in. But the undeniable truth of all this is the country needs energy to function, mm-hmm. and we need energy to have the quality of lifestyle that we have. So whether it's natural gas, crude oil, refined products, wind farms being built someplace, all of those projects are going to face challenges and hurdles. And it's not, it's sort of the way the things are today. The Keystone Project is a different pipeline to a different market than what we're trying to service here, but it is still a very important project in North America. So as a company, even though it's a competitor to us, I've said from the beginning, we want to see that project get done because it's vital to North America. It ensures that North American produced energy can come to North American markets. And the ramification of that is huge. It displaces imported oil from other locations. And so that really is, I think, the key thing to the development of Keystone XL and what we're trying to do here.
Is the expansion, what the expansion that you want done in Wisconsin, is this part of the whole national debate over having America becoming more energy independent?
Yes, no question.
Then if the Keystone is a competitor, do you have a position on it?
We think it should be built. Even though it is a competitor, we think it should be built, yes. Because it's vital to the greater picture in North America. One of the things that's very critical is the development of transportation to move energy to market. And if pipelines aren't built, it's the most logical way to move a commodity over a long distance to the markets where it's needed. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of refining complexes in Western Canada or in North Dakota. So you've got to move the refined or the crude oil to markets that can be refined. And the best way to do that is to move it by pipeline. The next logical alternative to pipeline is rail. And there just isn't the rail capacity or ability to move as much oil as we expect to see come out of the oil sands region in Canada or the Bakken. And so pipelines are, over the long run, the safest, most efficient, most cost-effective way of moving that product to market.
What's been the impact, though, of the tremendous drop in crude oil prices? I looked it up. It's trading today at 57, which was down from about 115 a year ago.
Yes.
So does that, what impact does that have on your company?
Well, for us, actually, our volumes have continued to be very, very strong. Our North Dakota system, as an example, has been running very full. Our mainline system here in Wisconsin has been running basically full all year. So what you see in terms of the resource being developed, whatever is producing today will continue to produce. If you have a large plant or production facility running today, you're going to continue to run that. So that's what we're seeing. What you are seeing, though, is less drilling activity in places like the Bakken or mm-hmm. West Texas or other locations because it's not as economic for the producer to drill the well. So you're going to see a drop in regular rotary drilling activity. And as prices begin to come back, you'll see the rigs again go back into production in North Dakota and other locations.
Do you need the prices to come back to make your expansion in the state of Wisconsin more viable?
No. What we see, we are a very much look at the long-term view and the expectation. If you look at what demand in the United States is, which is relatively steady, but we still import a lot of oil from overseas. But you look at the global picture, there's a lot of oil that's going to be required to run the rest of the globe. And for folks in other countries to achieve the kind of lifestyle we have here in the United States, it requires energy. So there is, over the long run, definitely a need for this expansion and probably others beyond it. And if you think about, again, the need for the United States to become more energy self-sufficient for lots of reasons, this is an important piece of infrastructure for the U.S.
A $45 billion company such as Enbridge will make predictions and take the long view.
Yes.
Where do you see, what do you think will be America's energy picture 20 years from now, Mark?
Ah, very interesting question. First off, I would like to see, certainly as a company, we are a big believer and investor in renewable energy. So one of the things that we've been investing in our $45 billion portfolio is windmills, solar, geothermal, and other things. Over that time, it would be nice to see more of our earnings coming from that type of a platform. The oil pipeline, our gas pipelines are still going to be critical parts of what we do. I would like to see our system expand from what it currently is. I would like to see the United States in a position where it imports a very small amount of crude oil from places outside of North America. So from Mexico, from Canada, great. So we're more continentally energy self-sufficient. And that would be kind of the ideal outcome. So oil-wise, be less exposed to what happens elsewhere on the globe. Natural gas, the country is blessed. So continue to develop our natural gas resources. Migrate more of our power generation to gas and renewables away from coal. That would be kind of, from a dream perspective, if you could see the energy picture play out that way, it would be great.
Your position on fracking, which is so controversial, the numbers of earthquakes in Oklahoma. Anyway, go ahead.
As a company, the application of technology is one of the things that has made this energy renaissance in North America happen, and fracking is a huge part of that. So basically taking the rock and putting some fissuring in it to allow the commodity to flow. As a company, we think it's an important part of the U.S. achieving a much greater degree of energy independence than what it otherwise would have.
Okay, let's talk about safety. I read a State Journal story, five pipeline ruptures, in Wisconsin since 2003, including a 1,200-gallon spill in Adams County in 2012. Mm-hmm. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said Enbridge paid $1.1 million to settle claims over broken environmental laws during construction of the initial phase 2007-2008. Just response to that?
Yeah, let me get both those things. Let's deal with the construction issue first. It was one of those years in the state where we had like one of those record rainfall events. We had what we provided for to protect against silting and other issues that come from runoff was not adequate. So the fine that was levied was appropriate, and company did not dispute and paid that. The 1,200 barrel spill in Adams County, line 14 when it was constructed, again hydro tested and inspected many times, but we had a rupture on the system. The control center immediately determined we had an issue, brought the line down immediately, and then the company began the remediation effort thereafter. So the cleanup on that site was complete, within several weeks of the incident, and the area has been restored to its condition before the spill.
And then one other incident. What has the company learned, or how have safety practices changed since the $834,000 gallon spill into the Kalamazoo River?
Yeah, that was in 2010. And Enbridge, I've had a long history with the company. One of the things that we've always taken a great deal of pride in, and probably at 2010, maybe too much pride in, was the level of inspection and so forth that we did to our system. And after the spill in Kalamazoo, what we realized is, we can't put as much trust in technology, and we have to enhance our technology that we used to check the integrity of our pipeline systems. So since that time, we've made substantial investments in higher technology tools, some of which use technology similar to an MRI that your eye might go get at the hospital, looking at the quality of the pipelines, looking for defects or issues that need to be fixed. And so we have spent close to $4 billion across the entire company in Canada and the U.S. to ensure that our pipeline systems are secure, safe, and continue to make those investments. So that's an example. Another is making sure that inside the company, our culture is one where safety comes first. And it's very critical for us that every employee, when they go to work every day, they realize job number one is safety. And so an operator in the control center, if they see a condition they don't understand, take the system down and ensure that we don't have a Kalamazoo-type issue again.
Well, it's intriguing because your website says some of what you just said. The pipeline is monitored 24 hours a day by our computerized pipeline control system and trained controllers.
Yes.
And then one more sentence. Pipeline control system can either automatically initiate pump shutdown, or control room operators will safely shut down the pipeline within minutes and mobilize trained field personnel to investigate. Mm-hmm. Was this system not in place for Kalamazoo?
It was in place for Kalamazoo as well. Better now than it was then. But what fundamentally happened, I would say, in Kalamazoo really was a human breakdown, which will happen. You know, we all get on an airplane, we fly to a location. One of the key elements of control is the pilot at the front of the aircraft. And in our instance, the control center missed a condition on the system, did not diagnose the condition properly, assumed there was an operating condition on the pipeline, which sometimes happens, called a column separation, where batches of oil separate, and they were trying to repack the system. Instead, we had a leak. And that now, again, for our operators, that's the first thing they should be thinking. And that's why changes have been made since Kalamazoo.
Maybe this question for Wisconsin drivers. If the Enbridge expansion is approved, mm-hmm. will it have any bearing on gas prices? That's a simplistic question, but...
It's a tough one to answer. It's a good question, but it's a tough one to answer. But certainly, anytime you constrict supply of crude oil to a refinery, you're going to have an effect on its ability to produce products, or where is it going to get its products from. For a refiner in the Midwest U.S., the best source of crude oil in terms of the pricing and so forth is typically Canada. And so that will give the consumer in and around the Great Lakes region, the best bargain, if you will, for the refined products. But it's quite a step through the value chain to come to the pump. But it's simple supply demand. If you restrict supply, you're going to raise price.
Okay. So the long-range issue here is the energy independence of the United States. That's a key part of this?
I think it's a key part of this, without any question. The system that we have here in the state of Wisconsin, and we have operating in North America, is one of the most important pieces of vital infrastructure to move oil around our country that there is. And for that reason, expansions of our system are critical to the development of our country, and ultimately to the displacement of oil from sources off seas.
And Dane County, and the company will be meeting with the Dane County Board next week.
Next week, yes.
Is that the last hurdle that has to be cleared?
For us on our project, yes. That really is the last hurdle. We'd like to see that insurance condition removed off the conditional use permit. And if we're able to do that, then we can proceed with construction and on the system.
And if you were talking to Dane County supervisors next week, you would say what?
Really, that first message I just repeated, that we'd like to see that removed. And the other key message is we have a long history in the state of Wisconsin. We have a company that employs lots of people here in the state. It is a company that takes responsibility. If something does happen, we're not ones to walk away from an issue. We take accountability. We don't do one of these things and point at somebody else. If it's our issue, we take care of it.
Very good. Mark Mackey is president, Enbridge Energy Partners. Mark, thanks for talking to
Wisconsin
and I.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep.